Monster Man, episode 421, Hydra and Imp.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we are taking a look at two more monsters from Monsters Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, 2nd edition. It is hard for me to say Dungeons and Dragons quickly. I say Dungeons and Dragons. I guess we understand why everybody says D&D, huh? So both of the monsters from today's episode are monsters that we have seen before, back in, well, in a couple of different seasons, actually, because Imps is a combined entry. Let's start by taking a look at Hydra. Now, the Hydra entry contains four types of Hydra. You got the Hydra, the Lernaean Hydra, the Pyro Hydra, and the Cryo Hydra. Three of those are monsters that had previously existed, and indeed they were all in the original Monster Man entry for Hydras. It is really weird to me that the Lernaean Hydra, you know, the Hydra, is a subtype of the Hydra monster in D&D, that there's Hydras and then there's Lernaean Hydras. I'm probably mispronouncing that. One thing that I did learn while researching the Hydra is that not all stories about it contain the bit where if you cut off a head, two grow back. In some, and I believe that it's in sort of earlier versions of the story, it's just got a lot of heads and that's the challenge. And then later on, the detail gets added that if you cut off a head, two more grow, and so you have to kind of burn the neck stumps. So two different versions of the same monster story are being incorporated into the game as two different monsters, which is something that we've seen before. Now, when I tell you the names of the Pyro Hydra and the Cryo Hydra, I bet you can figure out what their deal is. And in fact, I was a little surprised to discover when I went back to look at the original Monster Manual entry that the Pyro Hydra is actually in it. But the Cryo Hydra isn't. So it's not that someone looked at the Hydra and went, well, what if there was a red one that breathed fire and then a blue one that breathed cold? Someone looked at the fact that there was a red one that breathed fire and went, well, obviously, if there's a red one that breathes fire, then ipso facto, there's a blue one that breathes cold. And I was astonished, I have to tell you, to discover that Cryo Hydras are not blue, right? They're Hydras that breathe cold. Don't get me, that's what they are for sure. But they're not blue. Or white. They're brownish purple. Nice to see a little creativity, a little change it up in these monster entries. To be honest, I don't know that either of these monsters were really strictly necessary in the first place, because I just feel like any situation in which you run into a fire-breathing lizard and it isn't a dragon, you're kind of going to be let down. Although the extra heads are nice, but you can have a dragon with multiple heads, you know? The Pyrohydra and Cryohydra are definitely examples of the it's fine, nothing wrong with it monster type, where you have D&D players whose palates are jaded, like they fought a lot of Hydras already, but they're not really in the mood for something exciting, just something like a little bit different. Next up, we have the Imp. Now, this is another multi-monster entry. Indeed, it's two entries, but I'm going to combine them all into one. We have the Imp, which is one page, and the Imp, Method, which is another two pages. And between the two of them, they give us a total of eight different types of monster. So we got the Imp, which has both the Imp and the Quasit, and then the Imp, Mephit has six different types of Mephit. Now the main Imp is pretty much what you'd expect. It's a diabolical minion that serves an evil wizard. Or does it really serve it? In fact, the entry tells us that Imps manipulate and control their summoners in order to achieve the Imp's goals while allowing the summoner to think that it's their goals that are being achieved. Now, I went back and looked at the original Monster Manual entry to see if this was something that was present there, because the Monstrous Manual entry is very clearly straightly derived from the Monster Manual one. I mean, for sure, they are the same. But, you know, it just occurred to me that I didn't check up on Quasits. Anyway, whatever. Point is, the idea that the Imp is the true master is not stated in the Monster Manual entry, but it is sort of implied, because the Imp's summoner is referred to as its master in quotes. So it'll say the Imp carries out the tasks assigned to it by its quote-unquote master, or whatever. So there's clearly the sense that the master is not the real master. That's interesting. So that is something that was implied by the original Monster Manual entry, but is now being made explicit by the Monsters Manual one. Oh, and Quasits are just Imps, except Imps are lawful evil and Quasits are chaotic evil. Speaking of entries that are just elaborations on their original first edition entries, let's take a look at the Mephits. Now, Mephits appeared in the Fiend Folio, and they are here pretty much what they were there. They're little evil elemental dudes. They're basically like imps. You know, they're summoned by evil wizards to come and do bad stuff, or sometimes you just run into them on their own. There's six types. You got your fire, ice, lava, mist, smoke, and steam Mephits, and they each have like slightly different mechanics and slightly different personalities, really, or maybe different methods through which they carry out their missions of kind of like being aggravating and, you know, spreading chaos and evil. They're mostly just sort of like greedy, lazy, and mischievous, and the entry in the Fiend Folio says that they wear like really outlandish, horrible outfits, which is not something that's really reflected in any of the illustrations. It is not in Alan Hunter's illustrations for the Fiend Folio particularly, and it's certainly not in Tony DiTerlizzi's illustration for Monsters Manual, which depicts them as kind of, you know, sort of elementals, right? Composed of the element that they represent. Might be quite hard. It's hard to think of like an ice goblin, but like he's wearing little pantaloons or whatever. And actually, I say little pantaloons. I say little pantaloons a lot. No, I say little pantaloons, but in actuality, Mephits are a lot bigger than I think of them as. In my mind, Mephits are size small, but they're actually size medium. They're 5 feet tall. But in my mind, they were little rather than just not that tall, which is what they are. So the outfits, and they give themselves really pompous names as well, which is funny. And then, so the thing about the ridiculous outfits is in the Fiend Folio, but then like a piece of contrast has been added in this entry, so we know that Mephits adopt these like incredibly self-aggrandizing personas, but then when they're around the people they consider their superiors, they're absolutely these like groveling, like, oh yes, boss, what do you want me to do next, boss, types. And that's, I mean, that's a little bit on the obvious side, but it's funny and it's appropriate. And it's another good example of using the expanded size of this entry, although in fairness, the original Mephit entry is quite long, using the expanded size of the entry to add something that like will come up in game. You will probably, if you run into a Mephit, I'm sure you will do so in the presence of its boss, and it would be funny to see it twice. And the first time you see it, it's like, bow before me, mortals, for I am a mighty fire Mephit. And then the second time you see it, it's like, oh yes, grand sorcerer. That's funny. I'll take it. I do think, you know, I said that the Tony DiTerlizzi illustration does not reflect the thing about how Mephits wear ridiculous outfits, but it is a very nice picture, and the grotesque faces of the Mephits really fit with the outsize kind of fairy tale like personalities that they are ascribed in this entry. I think anything that kind of brushes it up against that fairy tale world, which these little, you know, goblin guys, again, they're not that little. Why do I keep saying that? I think it's because of Neverwinter Nights or something. Maybe those were Quasits. I always get them mixed up. But I definitely remember little sort of sprites that you had to fight. Anyway, whatever. Anything that brushes up against that kind of fairy tale style monster, I think an area where DiTerlizzi is a strong choice. All right. In our next episode, again, we're continuing our journey through Monsters Manual. And I gotta say, we are seeing a run of combined entries here. Some episodes have a couple, some episodes have none, but we're seeing a good, like, I'm pleased with the level of information density that we're starting to get out of this book, which at times has not been very efficient in its use of information. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we come up with next right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.